Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Friday, September 28th, 2018. With me today, I have John Martolaro. How are you, John?
I'm good. Good morning.
Good morning. Brian Chaffin, how are you?
Oh, it's the end of a week. So, huzzah!
And I know you, so I wasn't sure if you were going to the end of the week or to the end of the world as we know it. But you feel fine.
Yes. I am also Superman.
Yeah, you are. We have a sponsor today, and that sponsor is Jamf Now. And I'm excited to talk about them, but I'm also excited to talk about our first topic, which comes from you, John. Yesterday, you wrote a piece where you talked about when macOS really isn't macOS. What does that mean?
Well, the name macOS is the third version of the name for the Macintosh operating system. We started with Mac space OS space 10. As the next generation Unix operating system back in 2000, 2001. And then for some oddball reason, Apple dropped the Mac, and we, for a few years, 2012 to 2016, we were OS 10. And I don't think anybody ever figured out why that was. My own pet theory was that operating system was being prepared to run on non-Mac hardware, some new product. And then that fell through. And then, of course, now we have the little Mac, big OS, the third version of the operating system. And that's always fascinated me. And I kind of went through the history of the naming of Mac operating system, you know, over the years, even going all the way back to classic, going back to 1984, System 1 through System 7.
System 1 through System 7, and then
Big Mac OS.
Yeah, that's right. So was it early on, or was it when we were at System 8 or System 9, they started calling it Mac OS System 8 and System 9?
No, we had System 7, and it went as far as 7. Well, I forget how far it went into the sevens. And then when there was the Copeland project, where that failed, but there were some technologies that were folded into what became Mac OS 8.
Okay.
Yeah, I thought 7.5 was Mac OS.
No, System 7 was the last System 7, and then we went to Mac OS.
And didn't that go up
to
like 7.6?
No, it went to Mac OS 8 and then Mac OS 9. And then Mac OS 9.2.2 was the last of the classic Mac OSs before Mac OS 10 came around.
So Apple has this thing where they're okay being fluid with flagship product names.
Yeah, and I was thinking about that this morning during the meeting, and it sounds trivial, but I think it's not. And that is that Apple is more interested, in my mind, more interested in developing names in a marketing context to be alluring and spur of the moment catchy, and not so much interested in legacy or homogeneity or consistency or well thought out pattern. It's almost as if people sit down at a table and say, What can we do this year with the naming of the product that's going to be catchy and interesting and make us more money? And that results in a lot of disparity and jumping around in names. So,
you know,
one can imagine a company that was more focused on consistency for the sake of informing customers, confidence by the customers, confidence in the company. But Apple doesn't care about that. And, of course, you get turnover over the generations. New marketing people, new concepts, new things come along.
Do you remember when Apple started using the big cat names? And they even told us that this came from our internal code names.
It all started with Cheetah.
Yeah, and it was... I felt that the cat naming was very confusing from a marketing standpoint, and from an end user standpoint, because how could the average person know what operating system version they were actually running? Because
that's a conceit.
People aren't going to remember the cat names, but if you give them a number, okay, they know if 10 is below 11.
Nah. People remember the cat names. What are you talking about?
I disagree with Jeff. I think people kind of figured out that mountain lion was greater than lion.
I think that people remember the cat names over the version numbers.
Maybe. All right. So from my anecdotal experience, which is where this comment comes from, when I would be at user groups and I would ask someone which version of macOS they were running, they would oftentimes say, well, I'm running the latest. And I'd ask them what that is. And they would throw two or three different cat names at me and say, I can't remember which one that is. And then I'd say, well, and then someone would say, oh, well, I'm running 10.8.6. And I'd say, okay, great. And the latest version is, and throw a cat name at them. And they'd say, well, where does that fit in? And so I did see a lot of confusion with that.
Hmm. One of the things I got to later in the article was a discovery that internally, if you look at the software version internally of what macOS 10, macOS OS 10 is referred to, you do a software_version command, it'll tell you what version you're running of the operating system. There's a product name, and it's macOS 10. It's been that way through 15 generations, as far as I know. Mm-hmm. And there's a reason for that, as one of my astute readers pointed out. When you're writing a script, you can put, like a Perl script, you can put the function on one side and an equal sign and have it fed into a variable. So if you want to know what version of the operating system you're running as a string, you can do something like, you know, $version equals, and then depending on the syntax of your script, grab the output of software_version, and then you know what operating system you're running on, if there's any irregularities when you have cross-platform scripts. So that's why that is in there. And I have actually done that myself in scripts, grabbed that variable to see what I was running on back in the days when I was a Solaris freak.
All right. So before we move on to the next topic, what do you recommend Apple do with the naming conventions for the Mac operating system?
Well, I think they've settled on a good one because it's in sync now with tvOS, watchOS, and iOS. With the little m, one continuous string of characters, no spaces, makes it easier to parse. I think they've got it for the future now, and I don't foresee any changes, nor do I recommend any.
All right. How about you, Brian?
They'll change it.
I laugh because it's true.
I mean, they've the one thing that Apple's been consistent about on these issues is change.
Yeah.
Yeah, but now that they're in sync with the other operating systems in terms of syntax, if that's what the word is. What do you think would be a variation?
Oh, I don't know. I didn't think they go with macOS with a little M.
And so they did, yeah.
And if they did, yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, somewhere there's a betting pool on what Apple's going to change the name to next. And there's probably like one person that's guessing right, and they'll score big. Hey, we have a sponsor today, and that sponsor is Jamf Now. And Jamf Now, it's a system that lets you manage settings and and stay on top of information about the various Apple devices you have. So your iPhones, your iPads, your Macs, your Apple TVs. And you can do it all from an easy-to-use web interface. So you'll know what serial numbers you have for each device. You know what operating system versions you have. You can set minimum standards for what passwords have to be. So you can make sure on an iPhone, for example, that people are using at least a 6-digit passcode as opposed to a 4. And you can keep track of all of the email settings for, if you're using this for a business, for all of your employees. So your employees don't have to worry about remembering what information to put into their Mac or their iPhone or iPad to check their email. You just push that information out to them, which is great. And if you have your own internal apps that you're developing that you need to push out to your employees, like maybe you have some custom tool that you've created for keeping track of your projects. Okay, you can push that out from Jamf now too. It's very cool. So they also make this very affordable. So if you want to sign up, and you should, head over to their website and you sign up for free, and you get 3 devices on your account for free. And there's no time limits on that. That's just what they do. So you can use this for your personal or your business, and it doesn't matter. It's easy, and it's really affordable. If you have more than 3 devices, no problem. It's only $2 per device per month. And it's a great way to keep track of all your devices. Make sure you have the right settings in the right places, and to stay on top of what apps are installed and all the other bits of information you need to know and manage for all those devices you have for your family or your business. So head over to their website, jamf.com, jamf.com/TDO. Sign up for your free account, add 3 devices, and $2 per device per month after that for any extras that you have. Jamf.com/TDO. Thank you, Jamf, now for being our sponsor. Okay, so as long as we're on this whole naming thing, Ken Segal, who is a well-known marketing person, he came up with the name iMac for Apple. And that's worked out pretty well, I'd say. And he's looking at what Apple has done with naming conventions for the iPhone, and he says, this is a hot mess. Now, he didn't actually say hot mess, but that's what he means. He says it's a mess. It's very confusing. And the whole thing with mixing Roman numerals with numbers and letters is confusing, and it doesn't tell people what they need to know about the devices. So I'm going to give you a quote from this blog post that he wrote. He says, last year's models set new standards for complexity. We had an 8, 8 plus, 10, and SE. And of course, he has the Roman numeral 10, so it's a letter X. That's 2 numbers, 1 Roman numeral, 1 pairing of letters, plus an odd numerical gap between 8 and 10, or in Apple lingo, between 8 and 10. And he goes on to say that it's more confusing this year because now you're mixing Roman numerals with letters. And he says that he expects next year we'll get the iPhone X2. And the year after that, we will get what he says is the holy grail of bad product naming will be within Apple's grasp, an iPhone X2S. It will feature a Roman numeral, a number, and a letter all in one name. So, what do you think? Does Apple have the naming scheme for iPhone messed up?
I will jump right into this one. And I'm going to give you what may be a surprising answer.
Okay.
Yes, and it doesn't matter. Right? Do you remember what an awful and terrible name iPod was, and it doesn't tell you anything about the product?
Yes, I remember people flipping out over that.
Mm-hmm. Do you remember what an awful name iPad was? Because it sounds like some sort of feminine hygiene product.
I remember people
terrible that up over and over. Yeah, it's going to be a complete flop. Mm-hmm. And my point here is that I don't really think Apple could do any wrong. when it comes to its iPhone names. And yeah, it's weird, but if anything, it gets people talking. And I don't really think Apple cares overly much if we miscall it the iPhone X.
No, and I expect from this point forward, it's iPhone XS, XS Max, and XR, and whatever they come up with in the future, people are just going to say X instead of 10.
No, Apple's going to say iPhone 10.
Well, Apple's going to say iPhone 10. People are going to say X.
And Ken Segal, who is brilliant and for whom I have nothing but respect, is right that it is. You know, it's a logical inconsistency. The idea that it should be a Roman numeral and a letter when they're right. I mean, like, you can't expect your customers to follow that, but I don't think it matters.
I run into people once in a while who call the Apple Watch the iWatch.
Oh, I hear that all the time.
These names don't stick except with writers who have to make a living writing it down correctly.
The number of people back when we had the iPod Touch as a mainstream product that referred to it as the iTouch all the time. It's just what people do. So Apple can name the products whatever they want, and people are going to call them whatever they want, and they're still going to sell.
You know, there's an analog in the car industry, too, that we've had these letters and numbers. There's Lexus RX350, RX 400H, either the litany of LEs and SEs in the car world is endless. So it's not something that Apple does uniquely. Car
industry, yeah, but there's no, the LE is not the 100E or 1000E. What's an L? M is 100, is that right?
C is 100.
Right. So what is L?
L is 50.
L is 50.
L is 50, right? So no one's calling it the, Mercedes 50E. It's the LE. So and that's what Tim is talking about. Ken is talking about the mixing of the different nomenclatures and the different ways of using, letters. And I mean, I agree with him. I just don't think it matters.
Well, it goes back to my article that we talked about in the first segment, where I talked about how I met with the product manager at the time of macOS 10. And he said, no, you're not allowed to explain to people how to pronounce it. And I was in SciTech marketing. And he said, no, you can't do that. You can print the name macOS 10, but you can't tell people how to pronounce it. And that goes back a long ways.
That's wacky.
And I think that started the whole thing. That's why I told that story yesterday.
All right. So an idea that I have tossed around before, let me know what you think, and then we'll have to wrap up. I felt like this is the year Apple should have changed the iPhone naming to match the Mac naming and the iPad naming and drop all the extra stuff off the end, except maybe like Pro or Plus or whatever they wanted for big size screens, and just call everything iPhone. And then you'd have iPhone Fall 2018.
Yeah, I hate that.
Just like they
do. I loathe that with an abiding, burning passion of 1,000,000,000 suns.
All right, so Brian is wishy-washy on that one. John, how about you?
You and I have talked about that in the past, as I recall, and I never really warmed up to it myself. I'm a fan of consistent, coherent naming systems that allow you to identify the product. Perhaps by succession in numerology, like 10.12, 10.13, 10.14,
that appeals to me. Like random cat names?
Yeah, but we always knew what version, each one of those was. And sometimes we wrote it in parentheses, and sometimes we referred to it directly for technical reasons. But I don't think Apple's going to do that, and I'm not really excited about the prospects of that because, as Brian said, it's all about marketing and glitz and consistency. It doesn't really matter. It's just like, here's a label. Talk about the label. Buy the label. Know the label. Here's the phone. It's cool. Buy it.
All right. So John is not fully on board with my idea. Got it.
No.
Brian's wishy-washy. John's not fully on board. And it's probably safe to say Apple will do something with iPhone naming next year that has some people complaining, some other people confused, and then most everyone else saying X instead of 10.
No doubt they have backed themselves into a corner, though. Ken is correct. The iPhone XS sequel will be hard to fathom.
Mm-hmm.
I think it should have been the 10.2 this year and the 10.3 next year and the 10.4 next year. I think they should get away from the S.
Yeah.
From the S thing, because like it certainly, at least the techno pundits, there's a word I'm looking for, but the echo chamber talks derogatorily about the S years for good reason. So why not get away from that? Of course, then it could just become that's an even number year.
Yeah, and then we end up with the Star Trek movie meme for iPhones. Do you go with even or odd years?
Right.
How about iPhone Mountain Lion?
Now that you've said it, it's going to happen. That's just great. Thanks, John.
That's just mean is what that is.
Yeah. All right. Well, on that awesome note, we're out of time. John, thanks for being here today.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Brian, thank you for being here as well.
Oh, for sure, man. Good to be here. Thanks.
It's great to have both of you here. And thank you to Jamf Now for being our sponsor today. Head over to their website, jamf.com/TDO. That's jamf.com/TDO. Sign up for your free account. Add 3 devices for free forever. Only $2 per device per month after that. And listeners, I'm so glad that you were here. Thank you for listening. I hope everyone has a wonderful weekend. And we'll see you again on Monday.